Any questions from any of you before we begin? Yes.
The way you describe the masculine purpose, it doesn't seem like it's just one thing. Is that right?
Yeah, absolutely. It's a constellation. It's a collection of whatever you need to do all together so that every moment of your life is consciousness fully expressed through your entire being. So for instance, perhaps you are moved to raise a family, and then with your children, you would fully express your deepest consciousness. Now, in addition to that, you might be moved to write a book about ancient China, and then you would fully express your consciousness through your book on ancient China. And in addition to that, you may want to earn money by building a business that supports yachts with metal fittings so they don't sink or something. I don't know. And so you put your full consciousness into creating that business. So all of that may or may not be part of your deepest purpose. You may discover that your deepest purpose is to sit alone in a cave or to paint in poverty in the corner of Tahiti or something. So that, all of that could be.
And you mentioned something about how to find your purpose if you don't really know what it is.
You eliminate comfort so you could feel the pain of not knowing your deepest purpose, and from that comes the sense of what your deepest purpose is. Then you fully pursue that. It's usually a general hunch at first. It's not detailedly articulated. You fully pursue that to feel if that's it. If it's not it, you fully pursue the next closest thing you can feel until you go, yes, this is it.
If there is more than one thing that I want to pursue, should I be doing it one thing at a time?
No, you could pursue as many as you can as long as you do them fully. If you do them half-assedly, nothing works. So it's the fullness of it. If you could fully pursue whatever, 10 different avenues at the simultaneously, great. It's the fullness of your giving of your gift. It's the feeling that there's nothing left in you, as you're giving. There's nothing held back. There's not a shred of wisdom, a shred of love, a shred of any part of your consciousness or whatever you want to describe, the you that is really you, that is held back, hidden, afraid, tense. It's all totally given. Now, when you do that, you'll discover how it needs to be given, how many avenues, whether it's very singular, whether it's multifaceted. But you have another question that's under this. What is your question?
What if you think that you found your purpose, but then you don't get support from the people around you or your intimate partner?
I would say that then you're probably right on. I remember, for instance, well, there's many levels to that question. I want to make it brief so we could do as many exercises today as possible, but if you remember yesterday, I was attempting to help us all feel that all of this is a woman. All of this is the feminine. The feminine goddess, or whatever word you want to call the feminine. It's alive, it's life force, everything. The nature of the feminine, and particularly the nature of your woman, which is a concentrated dose of the feminine, you know, it's like you take the feminine, go zzz, concentrated into a human form, and now it's right in front of you. Seems to be human, sometimes, but it's the goddess. Okay? So she's facing you now. She's facing you all day at work. She's facing you when you come home, and there she is facing you human face to human face. Now, I'm again simplifying and anthropomorphizing because we only have a weekend. If we had 6 months, I could refine this much more detail. But she will do anything she can to make you fail because you collapse. She is a genius, and I'm speaking this as masculine to masculine. I'm not saying the feminine or women do this purposefully. In their reality, they're not doing this, but in your reality, they are. They will purposefully know your weak spots, purposely in your view, my view, and undercut, know your self-doubt and play on that, is another way of saying it. So they'll know your little self-doubt that maybe nobody else knows, and your woman will just kind of casually say or do something, or maybe not so casually, that will elicit that self-doubt in your career, in your mission, in everything. And the test is, do you remain full and conscious and present and, as I just described a moment ago, fully giving, even though she's eliciting that self-doubt? Now, some of what she says or shows is really true feedback that you're off, so you need to take that into account. Some of it is just tests that have no validity content in a masculine way whatsoever. In any case, if you collapse, you lose. Because you're no longer giving your gift of consciousness. You're no longer being who you are. And she cannot trust you then. So her response, the feeling that you collapse in response to her questioning your mission, to put it mildly, let's say sabotaging it, to put it strongly, is her response is lack of trust, and then she cultivates her own masculine. Now, I had already been, I tried to expose to my friend here earlier yesterday when he came up the feminine masculine thing, so I didn't want to hit on that too hard yesterday, but now is a new day, so I could start hitting hard again. There was a couple last night in the back who said that they were in the entertainment industry and, you know, they had to be in quasi-sexual modes and then come home. And the thing that I didn't say, because I wanted them to have a horrible night and fight, and we'll find out if they did or not, is, okay, good. She had to say that because of what I just said. Just remember, yeah, of course it's true, but. So, they're a situation that even in the question yesterday, and again, I purposely didn't want to go into this aspect of it. I wanted to save it for today since I had already touched upon it. It's kind of like when you're massaging a knot. I mean, you could massage and massage, and after a while, you got to rest it. You know, it has to rest so you could then come back to it again. And you can only play on these knots for so long before it's just painful and it's not serving. And that we came to that point yesterday, but now we're fresh, right? So, the bottom line is that she doesn't trust him completely because he collapses when she questions certain things, and that's the issue in the relationship, and that's why the ambiguity is there. And as they just demonstrated a second ago, not that anyone could see it because they're sitting in the back, but, you know, who knows what happened last night, but she said something like, we fought, and she's like, he goes, we did, or something like that, and immediately she's undermining whatever he thought had been achieved. Now, you could, and in that moment, he's like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Now, I do that all the time, too, because it's like you think they're human people, and they shared the same reality that you did. And so there's an expectation that you walk away, right? There's an expectation that you walk away with a somewhat similar perception of what happened. Now, the fact is, they may have walked away with a similar perception of what happened. That's irrelevant. The feminine is still going to test him. And so even if it was the best night, in fact, particularly if it was the best night of her life, in fact, if he was the most conscious being last night that he's ever been, she would be most likely to raise her hand and say, I have a question about last night. Something was wrong. And then if he goes, what are you talking about? Or something like that. Then her internal masculine goes, I can't fully trust him. And that creates the ambiguity at work when she comes home and having been falsely fucked by some actor, but who had more confidence in the role than he's evidencing in the moment, then she's going to have an excuse for maintaining her own masculine self-control and slight mistrust because he hasn't done whatever she needs in the moment to show that he's uncollapsible by her constant denial of his goodness, in public especially. Again, everything I'm saying is a bit of hyperbole because I don't want to go into too much subtlety. I'd have to give so many different examples of this specific case and that specific case. But again, if you'll allow me the generalities and then add the details for yourself or in future time that we have together, women are not what men think of when they think of people. When men think of people, they think of men, because that's what they are. So when they go, well, I'm a person, she's a person, therefore she should be like me in some way. And especially in the way that there's a reality that we shared, and yesterday we agreed on it. Why today are you saying this? Man, you've noticed this, right, or not? I mean, it's like, so, now, a first stage man just makes a woman inferior because she's unable to relate reality to him in the way the masculine does. It comes down to very simple things often, like, woman's on the phone with someone, they have a conversation, they hang up, man says, "What did you talk about?" And she's like, "Oh, da-da-da-da-da, you know, leaving out the most important thing that you're waiting for, and then later she goes, "Oh yeah, and da-da-da," and you go, "Well, why didn't you tell me that before?" Do you know what I'm talking about, this kind of conversations? Do you know what I'm talking about? Okay. So, now, the first stage man, because the first stage man's totally into himself, says, "Wow, she's stupid. She can't relate what she just said. She has no clarity. I'm superior. She's inferior." And you get the macho suppression of the feminine in the first stage. The second stage man gets really angry usually inside and frustrated, but feels like there's something to be worked out. So it's like a conversation, like, "This is a potentially workable situation. I really wanted to know what you said on the phone. That was important to me. Do you understand that?" And because you actually think she's capable of doing that, you invest your masculine reality into her, and you think she lives in that same reality, that's her perception, that's her way of being. Her masculine does. And so what second stage men do is they demand their women to be masculine. They're saying, "Look, that was really important to me. Please tell me what you said on the phone." And she goes, "Okay." And she kind of like moves into her little masculine shape. And she's feeling like, "Fucking dork. I've got to squeeze it into this little tiny square for him." But that's the way we are. We need the little tiny square. I mean, I'm just trying to kind of say it like it is. You could take it or leave it if you have different perceptions. But so the masculine in the second stage is, you know, like, out of goodness. I mean, it's not a negativity. Out of the great intention, he really believes human communication is masculine communication, identical. So he's saying, "Well, the way to talk is to actually say what happened on the phone. It's that simple, you know." But to the feminine, what happened on the phone was a flow of feeling and color and emotion and tone. And sometimes she's not even hearing a single word. She's just feeling what's happening in a larger sense inside people. And so she doesn't remember a damn word. The words never maybe even occurred in her reality. And so you're like, "What did that person say? It's important." She's like, And so the second stage feminine then often feels, denigrates herself if she believes this stuff. She goes like someone said yesterday, they think they're crazy. They're going like, "Oh God, I must be stupid, or I need to learn assertiveness training and say it, or I need to practice writing things down while I'm on the phone, or, you know, something's wrong with me in some way." And so they're into all this self-help. And there's an essential sense of something's wrong because the masculine needs them to be a certain way. Now, there's nothing wrong with any of that. That's just the way it is. Now, in the third stage, if you were in a third stage moment, when you were feeling your woman, you would not feel her like a person, man, person slash man. She's a person slash woman, but that has just dropped the person thing, because there's no way for you to conceive of her as a person without automatically imposing your masculine sense of personage onto that. So instead, feel her like a cloud of energy, totally changing shapes, moving, red, green, hot, cold, like an amoeba of feeling, or like a weather pattern, like a little bit of El Nino or something, just like, and then when you walk up and you say, like, "What did you say on the phone?" And she goes, "What?" Instead of going, you just go,
and she'll still hit you with that. Later on, she'll hit you with a, "Well, they said this."
Only if she's a really good woman. She'll lie to you about what they said. So you could feel the frustration from the masculine side if you assume that you're with someone like you, who has any value in what masculine people would consider like the grid of reality, like what really happened or what really got said. You'll never know. So like when she comes home from work, and God knows what happened at work, right? Because that's all who will ever know, I'll tell you that, because she'll never tell you. You could ask her, you could ask for the details, and good luck. So the masculine attitude in the third stage is that all of this is she, it's arising as a mystery, it's far too complex to ever reduce to a single understanding, and your role in it is to be the consciousness that pervades it now. Your role in it is to feel her deepest heart now. If you don't feel her as a heart that simply wants to be open to God, covered or surrounded by weather that you will never comprehend, pin down, nor should you believe. It's just weather. Believe it like you believe this. You know, you walk outside and you go, it's sunny, then suddenly a cloud comes, it's raining. And you can't go like, are you going to rain in 5 minutes? You won't get an answer. And no one can predict the weather. I mean, you can approximate it statistically, and that's about as close as you could get with your woman. You could statistically approximate what she's going to do. But it's a very fuzzy approximation. Now, the more she's in her masculine, or the more she's been masculinized, then the more she's trustable in the masculine sense, but also the more tension she'll have in her body, the less sexual surrender she'll be able to share with you, the less she'll be able to give herself to you to be claimed altogether, because you're needing her not to be in the I am infinite light love, claim me. You're inviting her to be in the get in the little box and give me the little square so I can understand what the hell is going on. And then it's like, her pussy becomes a little mousetrap or something in that situation rather than the infinite openness of being. Ladies, raise your hand if you agree with what I just said so the men know I'm not making it up. Okay. Now, the man who originally asked this question, 1 second, is your question answered now, or do you have more on your question? Okay. And you guys are kind of hit on a little bit. Is this okay for you, or do you want to go deeper with this, or are you done with this?
I'd like to go deeper.
Okay, can you feel how you just took the lead and he didn't?
Yeah.
Okay. Can you feel that that's because two things. He didn't take the lead.
Yes, that's exactly what he did.
And you did.
Yes.
Those are two actions,
well,
though.
I did this, but I didn't do it verbalized. I should have verbalized it.
Well, we'll get to what could have happened, but I just want you to feel that both of you are involved in this. That you, there's a part of you, I'm talking to the woman's side and then the man's side, the part of you that for whatever reasons, the way you were raised, your experiences in the past, it's really irrelevant, wants to be with a man. There's a part of you that wants to be with a man that lets you do your own thing. Now, there's another part of you that wants to be with a man who really takes you. But there's a part of you that wants to be with a man who gives you the space to do your own thing, like what you just did, like ask to go deeper without him smacking you or something. You know it's okay with him. Basically, you could do almost anything and it would be okay with him. He might talk to you about it, but he doesn't impose a lot on you. And there's a part of you that likes the freedom to guide your own life and make your own decisions and have your own space and things the way you like it. Now, that part of you will choose a man who lacks that masculine intervention. So to give you an example, if your man suddenly decided, okay, if that's really what she wants and would open her, and if that's actually who I am and I feel it authentically, that I've been kind of holding back to give her space because I thought that's what she wanted, and now he goes, well, I'm going to go all the way with this and find out what happens. Then you would be with a man who'd be so pinning you down, he would be commanding you from 24 hours a day. Everything you did, he would be absolutely puppeteering you with love. He would be everything, who you can see, who you can't see, who you have dinner with, who you can't have dinner with, how long you're on the phone, how little you're on the phone, how are you breathing when you're on the phone, when you go to bed, what side of the bed are you on, who do you touch, who don't you touch, what do you eat, what don't you eat. The whole thing he would start feeling into with his depth and doing his best to guide you into openness. Now the first thing he's going to get is your resistance, is your saying it's not opening you, is you undermining his capacities by saying, that's not what we learned in the workshop, whatever it was. And if he buys into that, then you get to justify that you're in charge because he's inadequate and look at, he gets collapsed anyways. So Your side is to bracket off a space where you're just willing to follow his lead and suffer and show him your suffering when his lead is insufficient. Because unless he feels that he's hurting you by not offering that lead, there's no motivation to offer it. It's easier for you to do it yourself for him. It's easier. So he has to feel that you're suffering that lack of lead in your life from him. So for instance, when I just said, do you want to go deeper? And he felt whatever he felt, but he didn't say anything. Then you jump forward with, you know, yes, I do. It would have been interesting, and this is a kind of alternative way to be for a few days as an experiment. You don't say anything. He doesn't say anything. And you just look at him and you go, and show him how you feel that he's not taking the lead, and let him figure out how to navigate based on your feeling. So he gets to feel how his navigation or lack of navigation is opening or closing your heart, is moving your emotions, and then he learns to accompany that. Just like a sailor in a sailboat, you have to feel the wind, the current. You take all of that into account when you're navigating. You take her feelings into account while you're navigating. Some of them are just tests. Some of them are real reflections. It's very subtle. And you just navigate the two of you. Now, maybe you don't want to do that, or maybe you just didn't know you could do that in this way, or maybe you didn't know that she really did want this. Yes.
No, in this one, I mean, when I came down here, this was a thing that I did for her.
Mm-hmm.
This is more or less of me giving up something to come do something for her.
Right.
I had what I wanted to do, and I said, okay, this is what I did. And then she said she was going to go do it by herself. I said, no, you're not. And she's going to do it. I'm going to go do it with you.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a surrender for me to come down here.
Mm-hmm.
It was, you know, so I kind of even feel that when you're saying it.
Right. So that's an example of it. But now that you're here,
I don't have to surrender.
Well, that's up to you. Now that you're here, this is the moment that's appearing. I mean, you made a series of decisions. I mean, this is true for your entire life. You're put in situations, some that you could control, some you can't. You just are in them. So here you are. And to now navigate her openness in this situation would be a great gift for her that she will resist and demean you for doing. But if you don't do that, her deepest heart will continue feeling like she can't fully trust you. And then, and this goes back to your question yesterday that I didn't want to get to yesterday, when she does these scenes or whatever and then comes back home, the ambiguity is grounded in what we're talking about now. You aren't claiming her and guiding her moment by moment. You came down here for her, she's asking the question, she's stepping forward, and I understand that you didn't necessarily want to be here and so forth, but you're here. And now that creates a feeling in her body that there's not a man in my life. Now she knows there is a man in her life, but her body doesn't feel taken by you moment by moment. So all it would take is some guy even, you know, acting, taking her, and her body's going to go, oh, wow, yeah. And she's going to wish you did that, not just physically, but all day. So now when she comes home, and if you're in the mode like you are here, even just for 5 minutes, you know, you've got something to do. Everyone does. So you're doing something, and she walks in, and you're not totally claiming her, and her body has that residual claim from, you know, some guy 23 hours earlier, she's going to walk up to you, feel your lack of claim, feel his claim, and be ambiguous about what's going on and what does she really want, who does she really want to be with. She knows she wants to be with you, but she's not getting what she wants. It's confusing. How do I let go of all this stuff that happened during the day? But how could she? Because it was actually a deeper claim of her heart than you may be offering in any particular moment. That's up to you. You could offer that. So let's assume that sexually, in good moments, you're definitely offering that. But it would take all day or as much of the day that you're physically together, at least. And even when you're not physically together, you could even do it over the phone. So maybe just once a day, if you're not like in the same location, you just call and say, like, hey, how you doing? And she goes, you say, you know, you sound just like the bitch I would like to put my cock in and open to God right now. You're exactly the woman I want to take. And if you were here right now, I would push you down and fill your mouth with so much love, you wouldn't be able to say a damn word. I'd love you so much. See, she's complaining now, right? No, she's laughing. She's smiling. Look at her face right now. Somebody needs a woman here right now. It takes learning, how do I say this? You don't need that. She needs that. And by neediness, I don't mean first stage neediness. She's fine without you. But she could be open to God with you. And you can give her the opportunity to surrender open deeply than she is on her own. How often will you want to do that compared to how often she will want you to do that? Very little. Because the masculine loves their projects. So your reality is going to be, I'm involved in this major project, and she wants the nye-nye-nye. And the nye-nye-nye always has something to do about relationship, love, depth. So she wants to come to a workshop and learn to deepen love or something, and you want to do what you want to do. That's perfectly natural and normal. And you shouldn't give that up, because if that's your deepest purpose, you should definitely do that. But in the midst of that, if you also want a sexual relationship with somebody in the way we've been describing, the third stage, if you want a sexual relationship with a woman who worships your deepest consciousness and gives you good feedback, and you worship her deepest light and you guide her life, if you want that kind of relationship, then you have to practice offering that claim in ways that you wouldn't consider for yourself, because they're not what open you, they're what opens her. Just like she has to learn to offer you specifically a kind of dark sexual worship of your deepest heart, even when she's not in the mood. She, yeah, well, that's the part that you like, but to,
I like both.
Well, you need to do both. Yeah. So here you are, and maybe you didn't choose to be here, but you're here. So now you got to get in the driver's seat. You know, you're in the driver's seat. You take her into account. You know, you don't ignore her and just drive. You feel her feedback. You feel where she's at. You do what's necessary for her sake. But you're in charge. And if you're not, she is. And the longer she is, the more muscular contraction will be in her body, the more her radiance will be diminished, her literal radiance will diminish, and the more other men who do offer her command, and it could be as simple as like her tennis instructor or a movie director, anyone who offers her any kind of guidance, like put your hands here on the paddle, you know, or the whatever it's called, you know, what is it called?
Racket,
thank you. So, you know, hold the racket this way. That much might be more guidance than you gave her for 3 days. And if that's true, and he goes, put your hands here, like this. No, not like this, like this. There's a part of it that goes, ah. You know what I'm talking about, ladies?
Yeah.
And that's why women have so many damn affairs with their tennis instructors and therapists and, you know, directors and stuff. Any direction is a masculine invasion of her heart. And so you need to over-invade compared to what she's getting, if you want her.
No problem. I'm the director, too.
Yeah, we've got a long day ahead of us. I believe that there's no problem in you doing that, but simply responding the way you did magnifies her mistrust. It magnifies her mistrust because you aren't directing her in this moment, and so to say no problem is kind of like saying someone saying to me, I don't know, become a midget. And I go, hey, no problem. But I'm not becoming a midget. And, well, I believe you can direct her, but you need to do it. And that's a whole different thing, because as you say, and as you'll find out more and more, she will actually resist your direction and confound you by telling you the way you're doing it isn't right. And some of the times the way you're doing it isn't right, and she's giving you really excellent feedback that needs to be taken into account. And some of the times she just wants to feel you going, okay, I still am full and I am taking you, even though you're hurting me in the deepest parts of my self-doubt. And it's a... The masculine wishes it wasn't like that, so the masculine always goes, why are women like this? Why can't women just be straight? You know, like, why can't they just... Not, why are they so complicated? Have you heard the song by Garbage, you know, I'm only happy when it rains?
Yeah.
That's the feminine... There you go, you have it in your car. Do you have it on CD?
Yes.
You should bring it in here, we'll play it during the break, okay? It's a song, you know, I'm only happy when it's raining, I'm only happy when it's complicated. And it,
she didn't drive.
That's a start. So Do both of you understand what I'm saying so far? Do both of you agree with what I'm saying so far? Do both of you want what I'm saying?
Yes.
Okay. So the practice then would be for you, the woman, to consciously, and it'll frustrate the hell out of you temporarily, step out of the masculine space so there's a vacuum and has to step into it or nothing gets done. Now, you will be very frustrated because you're used to stepping in that space and getting it done. But instead, stay out of that space. Show him your frustration. Show him your anger. Show him whatever you're feeling. But don't tell him to get into that space. Let him choose it. So just show him the pain or suffering of him not taking the space you have vacated, the masculine space, and let him walk into it as he chooses. Do you understand what I mean by that at a practical level?
Yeah, it's very scary.
Yeah, it's very scary.
It's something that's awesome. It's also been an obvious thing in our relationship because, you know, I had to battle so much with a woman ever in my life. You know, it's like we're always battling, vying for position. She came from a lot of relationships where she was the breadwinner. Mm-hmm. And I am definitely the breadwinner in this relationship.
Well, that counts for about the left hair on my anus. But
no, I'm just saying that when we have a battle in there, I feel it a lot, and I'm always like,
"You're gonna lose." Yeah. It's a battle with a hurricane. You know, the best you could do is be conscious in the midst of it. In the end, it's gonna kill you. In any case, right? You're gonna die. What's the best possible life you could have, right? Is you're gonna make a lot of money and have a great woman and do great things and die.
Yeah.
Okay, great. So we've established that. That's what's gonna happen in the end no matter what. So what do you wanna do between now and the time you die that is the deepest giving of your gift specifically to her? There's also the deepest giving of your gift to the world. Let's rest that consideration for a moment, and which is a big part of it. But what is the deepest gift you have to give her between now and the time you die? So she's in the battle with you, as you're discussing. How would you play that battle as the deepest gift you can give her? And that's what you need to feel into. That it's not a battle. It's your opportunity to offer your deepest gift while she's being a hurricane, a volcano, a tidal wave, a monsoon. There's no beating it. She's much more energetically powerful than you or any man. The feminine, she could energetically wear you out pretty fast. Now, the only way to really be with her, first of all, you don't have to say this out loud. Just feel the internal answer. How much do you really need her? Don't say anything. And if she died tomorrow, how long would it take you to find another woman? Don't say anything. And feel that essentially you are already completely free of her. You love her. You want to be with her. You desire her. You've chosen her amongst above all others. And yet, if you have a masculine essence, which you do, there's a part of you that knows there's lots of women. She doesn't like the gifts you have to offer. Let her be with somebody that she does appreciate. You are free of her. And in that freedom, and she's starting to battle, feel free of her. Fuck, especially in those moments, you know, it's pretty easy. And give her everything you have because there's nothing to lose. Totally give her everything in that moment that you can give her. Your deepest love, your deepest consciousness, your humor, which you have great humor, your passion. Give it all to her for the sake of opening her, expecting nothing. Because what you'll get is short amounts of surrender and long periods of testing. Short amounts of surrender, more battle. Surrender, battle. And unless you choose that, that's what it means to be with a good woman. You could be with a beat up woman who just is quiet. But if you're with a really strong or a good woman, a full woman, she will constantly be giving you energy to work with, so to speak. And so that's your choice. Do you want to be with somebody who gives you some degree of surrender and then a lot of energy that to you feels like battle? Now, the masculine turns it into battle. To the feminine, it's foreplay. Right?
Yes.
So you need to feel it as first response, fuck, I'd prefer nothing to this, because that's the initial masculine thing. Nothingness is better than this somethingness, you know, emotional mayhem or whatever you want to call it. And then feel okay. I could, there's two authentic moves in this moment. I could choose just to go to the cave or whatever, you know, be in my masculine, go to my room and just be consciousness and offer my gift to the world and ignore her. Or I can choose to step forward as consciousness and pervade her, opening her as consciousness, you as consciousness, and find out how she dances when you're fucking her. And by that, I use capital F. Find out how she dances when your consciousness is pervading her while she's offering you her foreplay. So instead of trying to battle her person to person, just feel everything she does as an invitation to fuck her, invitation to foreplay. And again, I'm using a capital F. I don't necessarily mean sexual intercourse. But she's using it as an invitation to say, yeah, enter me like this, enter me like this, enter me like this, enter me like this. Everything she's doing is an invitation to enter her like that. And are you man enough? Are you conscious enough? Are you present enough to do so? Ladies, raise your hand if that's true enough for him to understand. Okay. So now the masculine goes, fuck, you know, like, I don't know if I want that. I don't know if I have the energy for it. I'd rather be doing this mission that I have to do that is really important to me. That's a choice. You could say, I'm going to remain celibate. I'm not going to be in a relationship. I'm going to put all my energy in this mission. Or you could say, I choose to do this mission as well as the mission of opening a woman to God who I've chosen. And then you have to give both of them whatever is necessary. And it actually isn't a lot of time. She'll say she needs more time. But what she actually needs is more depth and penetration of her life with your consciousness. So if you spent 30 seconds just absolutely claiming her, like physically holding her, looking into her eyes, speaking your claim. That's why we practice all this dark language, because you need to be able to make her go, just do that for 30 seconds, and it'll last hours. So now go do your mission, do your mission, do your mission, do your mission. And then when you walk back, you know, 5 hours later, of course, she'll be in whatever mood she's in. And again, you just take it as foreplay, and you kind of, you know, move with the dance with it and claim her in the midst of that. Go back, do your mission, do your mission, do your mission. You could do it over the phone in a conversation. You can do it just feeling each other. You could do it in 30 seconds a day. Now, of course, it's nice to have hours, and it's much more deep when you have hours and so forth, but you can absolutely give her your deepest gifts so she feels your consciousness claiming her heart deeper than any man she's ever met in her life all day, all year, by spending maybe 5 minutes a day on the phone with her and 2 hours a week. Now, she'll want more than that, and it's healthy to have more than that, but you could do it with that. So it's not a time investment, which is what most masculine people think, because that's how it's expressed. Women, the feminine partner usually is like, we don't spend enough time together. You know, and so the masculine partner's feeling like, whoa. And then the masculine partner feels like, I got to give up my mission to do it. And so they go, okay, and now you're doing it for her, and it's already fucked because she feels you're giving up your purpose. And then you go, but I'm doing it for you, which pisses her off more because she never, ever wants you to do anything for her. She wants you to do it because it's the deepest truth of your life. She hopes that's her. But if you're doing it for her, by do you feel the and it's constant. So she'll go, I really want to do this thing this weekend. And then you go, okay. It's over. The whole weekend's shot. It doesn't matter now if you do it because you're she won, you lost, you gave up your direction, you gave up your mission. You're now following her lead. She's the masculine. This is even down to like having dinner. Like she goes, I'd really like to go out to dinner today, and you have this thing you have to do, or you feel you have to do, and you go. Another part of you goes, well, I haven't spent enough time with her. I probably owe her some time. Okay, let's go to dinner. And the dinner's shit. I mean, it's not happening. No matter how good you think it is, she is feeling your weakness. Now, you could have this mission going, and she goes, I want dinner, or I'd like to have dinner, or I'd like to do this weekend. And you listen to her, and you feel, you know, I'd really like to do this mission, but actually in the scheme of our lives, both of us would be more opened and the world would benefit more by doing this weekend or going to this dinner. Then you go, yes, we're doing this weekend. Or yes, we're going to dinner. And you do it because you've chosen it as the deepest truth of your life to serve her and all beings. Never do anything for her that is not the deepest truth of your life for her sake and all beings. If you do, other men will be penetrating her deeper and she will be confused. Got it?
Got it.
Okay. I think we've hit that nail on the head enough, unless there's any other questions from the two of you, but of course you only... Very good.
No more questions.
Thank you. Thank you. Good. Yes, sir.
Are you saying that all women want a man who is strong and makes all the decisions?
No. No.
No.
No. That's okay. That's what everyone puts in their notes. So I'll answer you the best I can. And it's good to ask your own question because I'm going to modify what I say for you, for each person who asks. And then someone else writes it down in their notes, but it's not really applicable completely to them because I'm really fine-tuning it to you. That's why these questions, okay? So you have to feel, what do you have to offer a woman? I'm talking about an intimacy. That's what we're talking about, right? A chosen woman.
Right.
Okay? So... Are you in a relationship
now?
I'm in a relationship. Okay, is she here?
No.
Okay, so we'll call her Miss X. It's fine. So you're in relationship with Miss X. What do you have to give her that opens her more than she can open herself? Spiritually, sexually, you know, the whole, just whole body, heart, depth, openness. What do you have to give her that she can't give herself in the way you can, that opens her beyond where she can open herself?
I guess I could make love to her because she can't do that on her own.
Yes, but you could make love with her in a way that closes her probably too, like if you're really insensitive and...